Gigi. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have gathered us here together in this final week of semester, and we thank you for taking care of us. We pray that you will open up our hearts now as we listen to your word, and we pray that you will strengthen us with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey everyone, if you haven't met me before, my name is Harry. I'm one of the staff workers here at Credo. And I'll basically be giving a talk based on that Bible passage that we just heard. Well, thanks everyone for coming today as well. I know that you guys are probably quite busy with exams and all that, so I'm really thankful that you guys are here. I was thinking, you know, maybe because it's such a busy week that there'd be a lot less people, but this is pretty good, so thank you guys. Anyway, you probably came thinking that you'd be hearing a much nicer message, but today we will be hearing a lot about death, in fact. The story that was read out today, two people actually die in this story, which is a bit of a sad thing. But it doesn't necessarily need to be a sad thing, I think. I actually think that it's very appropriate now to speak about suffering and about death, because I think that these things actually help us to put our lives in perspective. And if we have a clearer idea of where we are actually headed in the future, then that will give us a clearer idea of how we live in the present, and it gives us a clearer idea of the past as well. Now, our story today is the very last part in our series on wise leadership. And now that our friend Joseph in the story has come to the very end of his life, what does he actually think about his life after all these things that have happened to him? The amazing thing about Joseph is that even though he had brothers that hated him and even sold him off as a slave, even though he was forced to spend many years as a slave in Egypt, in a foreign land without any people that he knew, and even though he was put in prison for many years for a crime that he did not commit, he was still able to look back at all those things and smile. So let me ask you this question first. If one day you end up failing your subjects, even though you studied so hard, or if one day you can't find a proper job or a proper place to live, or if one day you are torn away from your family and your friends, or if one day you're put in prison for something that you did not do, would you still be able to look back on your life and smile? Would you be able to hold your head up high and look forward to the future? So in our passage today, which was read to us by TG, thank you, we can see that there are two different kinds of perspectives that you can have on life. And here's a basic outline of where we're going. So firstly, we'll talk about the wrong perspective on life, and then we'll talk about the right perspective on life. Then we'll also talk about the right perspective on death, and what is our perspective on life and death. So firstly, you know when you watch movies or read books or listen to stories, you really want to know what happens to the main character. Especially if the main character is good-looking or is very lovable, I think. And in this story, it's much the same. We want to know what happens to Joseph, because he is actually quite a lovable character, but he's also apparently good-looking as well. But we do need to remember that the Bible is not just a story about people, but also, mainly, about God. So even though this story actually focuses on the person of Joseph, in the end, he is actually just one of many human characters in the book. But the whole book is God's story. But it's also very important to note that the characters in this story teach us something very, very important about God. So I want to first talk firstly about Joseph's brothers, and then what they teach us about God as well. So Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because their father loved him more than he loved them. And so they actually tried to get rid of him by selling him off into slavery. And then they pretended that he was dead. Then years later, when there's a big famine in the land, there's no food, they run into some really serious difficulties, and they're afraid that they will be killed. And so they say in chapter 42, verse 28, "What is this that God has done to us?" And the brothers probably think that God is punishing them for what they had done to Joseph. And in this situation, they seem to have no hope at all. There is no food in the land, and their lives are at risk. And it's actually situations like this that it's so easy for us to think, what on earth is God doing? So what is your reaction when things don't go your way in life? Do you start to feel sorry for yourself? Do you start to think that the world is against you, or that you've just got bad luck or something? I'm sure you've all faced some difficult moments in your lives, and there are things that you wouldn't even want to talk about because you've just been hurt so badly. And when life is good, you kind of just cruise through and you don't worry about very much. But when hardships come in life, what is the attitude that you hold? Do you hold the same attitude that Joseph's brothers had? Do you think that the hardships in your life are there because you have done something wrong? Now, that way of thinking is called karma. In other words, if you do evil to someone, then you will receive evil back. And that is definitely not what the Bible teaches. The brothers in this story actually have the wrong perspective on what life is like. But our passage today teaches us about how to have the right kind of perspective. So please follow along along with the story in your little zines. Now, Jacob is a very important character in the book of Genesis. His story basically takes up about half of the book. And now his story finally comes to an end. And so we see in verses 12 to 14 that Jacob's sons have buried him now in the land of Canaan, in the field of Machpelah, I think that's how you say it, I'm not sure, near Mamre. Now this field, I know it has a very strange name, it's a Hebrew name. This field is very, very important to Jacob. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 31, we are told that Jacob wants to be buried there because that is where his grandparents, Abraham and Sarah, were buried. And also his parents, Isaac and Rebekah, but also his wife Leah, they were all buried there. But even more important is the fact that God has actually promised these people that in the future, he will actually bring his people back to this land and give them this land. This was the promised land. So when Jacob says that he wants to be buried there, he is saying he wants to be buried in the land that will be owned by the Israelites in the future. And that actually shows you something about Jacob. It's telling us that he trusts that God will fulfill his promises. That's why he wants to be buried there. But now that Jacob is dead, the brothers think that Joseph is going to pay them back for all those wrong things that they had done to him. And so they're obviously very afraid of him now. Back then, they could bully him because he was just a young child, and they could do whatever they wanted with him. But now, Joseph, the tides have turned, and Joseph is actually pretty much a king in Egypt. And now they are actually thinking in a karma kind of perspective. They think that because they have hurt this innocent little boy, that they will actually be punished for that. But of course, they don't want to die, so they come up with this kind of sneaky plan to save themselves. And they do know that Joseph might not actually listen to them. But he might actually listen to them if they come up with this plan, basically, to say that their father Jacob has sent them a message. And surely, if he doesn't listen to their brothers, they would surely listen to their dead father. And so They come to Joseph and they throw themselves down before him, knowing that he could just kill them at any moment. Now, all those years of pain and suffering that Joseph had to suffer because of these people, they treated him shamefully and even sold him as a slave, their very own brother. All of that deep hurt and suffering in his life was caused by his very own brothers, just because they were jealous of him. Now, when I was younger, I often got really annoyed with my little brother because he acted like a little princess and got everything that he wanted. And sometimes I was a little bit jealous because he did get everything that he wanted. But I would never do those kinds of things to my little brother. I would never sell him off as a slave. And Joseph could have died. And his brothers didn't actually even care. And now that Joseph stands before them and has the power to punish them for all the things that they had done to him, what will he do? Will he use his power to take revenge and put them through the same kind of suffering that he went through? Or will he have mercy on them? So tell me, what would you do in this kind of situation? If this were a Hollywood movie, you'd probably see the story end with the brothers becoming Joseph's slaves, or you'd see the brothers in prison, and the audience would give a great big applause because the brothers are getting what they deserve. But the way that Joseph responds to his brothers shows that he actually has a very, very different perspective on life and suffering. And because of this perspective, he is able to show mercy on his brothers. Now have a look at verses 19 to 21. Oh, wow. This is wrong. Okay, there you go. Cool. This is what he says to them. "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's kind of crazy. After all those things that they had done to him, you would expect that he would at least punish them a little bit or be a little bit harsher with them. But instead, he decided to treat them well, and he said that he would even provide for their children. Joseph could have used his power to take revenge, but he decided to care for them and take care of them instead. And he even speaks kindly to them. The only reason why Joseph is actually able to do this is because he has a different kind of perspective. He has the right perspective on life. He knows that even though they did all sorts of things to harm him, God had a much bigger plan, and he used their evil actions and turned them into good things. Now just think about it. Because Joseph was sold as a slave, he ended up in Egypt. And he ended up as a ruler who saved Egypt. And with his power, he even ended up saving his very family as well. And of course, this is very important because God actually had made a promise to these people in the past. If these people had died in the famine, then God would have failed them. So in the end, God used the selfish actions of these brothers in order to fulfill the promise that he had made to those people in the past. So after experiencing all this suffering, Joseph came to realize that God had much bigger plans for him. And so he was able to look back and smile because God has always had control of all things. And that is something, a great lesson that he has learned through his suffering. No matter what kinds of evil things people do, they can never stop God from doing good. So what happened to Joseph and his family after that? Were they able to live happily ever after? Now, Disney movies always seem to end with happy endings because they always end at the nice part, don't they? They never end with death. And so when you watch Disney movies as kids, you end up thinking that life is all about happy things and about romance, but you never learn how to see life from the right perspective, because Disney doesn't really teach you about death. I'm not saying that Disney should teach children about death, but I am saying that at some point, all people have to face the fact that they are going to die. In Joseph's story, we do see that things are happy for a while. Joseph takes care of his family, and he even gets to see his great-grandchildren. He lives a very long life, and his family seems to live pretty good lives. But then in verse 24, Joseph is faced with reality, and he says, "I'm about to die." Now, in a society that does not believe in God, the story would actually just end right there. If there is no belief in God, then there is absolutely no hope beyond this life. But the story does not actually end there. Joseph says, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land, to the land that he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Joseph knows that even if he dies, God will continue to be with his people, and he will surely fulfill the promise that he has made to his people. Nothing could stop God from turning this horrible situation into the salvation of many, many people. And nothing will stop him from fulfilling his promise to his people. And so, our main character of the story, Joseph, he dies. And then he makes his people swear that they will take up his bones from Egypt. Now, he does this because he knows that God will fulfill his promise, just like his father Jacob had done. And so he knows that God will bring these people back to the land of Canaan that he has promised to them. And that is the right perspective on life's hardships and death. That God will work even through the craziest and hardest times of your life to bring salvation to the people who trust in him. Now, although this story is thousands of years old, it has really deep teachings that should affect the way that we live our lives today. So the first thing is that we need to have the right perspective on life. We must understand that God is the one who is actually in control of all of history. And that means that for us today, we are actually just one small part of God's big plan for history. Like Joseph says, we are not in the place of God, and we are not the ones who are in control. Who am I? I am only one small person amongst billions of people who live on this earth. I have no control over the weather, the events of life, what will happen today or tomorrow. Even if I eat healthily and exercise every day, that will not guarantee that I won't get cancer. Even if I have a good job, that will not guarantee that I will live a good life. Now, life is not like driving a car. It is more like being a passenger in a car that is being driven by someone else. And it's kind of scary, isn't it? When you don't know what will actually happen, when you don't have control. But despite how scary it is to not be in control, it's good to know that the driver is someone who loves you and cares for you and is in control. When I was younger, my dad used to drive me everywhere. And when he was driving, I didn't really need to worry about anything because I knew that dad was a good driver. And I knew that even if we drove through dangerous places, I would be fine because my dad was there with me. And even if I did not know where we were going, I didn't need to worry because I knew that I was in safe hands. So we often think that we are the ones who are driving the car. But when things fall apart in life, we can very quickly realize that we are not at all driving. But we are people who actually do love control, don't we? But things in life can so easily fall apart. Even if you do well in your exams and you're healthy, perhaps you've got citizenship or permanent residence in Australia and your family is happy and everything just seems awesome. That does not mean that things will always be that way. So when difficult times come, how will you react? Will you react like Joseph's brothers did, saying, "What has God done to us?" Or will you react as Joseph did, saying that whatever evil comes in this life, God intended it for good? Now, sometimes we might watch the news and think that the whole world is falling apart. We hear news about people who are under threat of terrorism, about murders or people going missing, about governments rising and falling, about diseases that are killing hundreds and thousands of people, or about wars and floods and storms and earthquakes. In the middle of December 2014, a lot of you probably already know about this, there was a kind of terrorist threat at the Lindt Cafe in Sydney. A man held several hostages at the Lindt Cafe that day. And people who were just enjoying their lives, enjoying just having a coffee or some chocolate, they were basically just living their lives like normal. Do you think that those people expected to be taken hostage that day? Do you think that the people who were killed that day thought that that was going to be the very last day of their lives? Now, if they had known, then surely they would not have gone to the cafe that day. And many people were thinking at that time, that could easily have been me. And it's events like that that should really shake us up and make us think, make us realize that we actually do not have control over what will happen to us. But for those who trust in God, these kind of events should not make us worried or afraid. For the ones who trust in God, the destination is always clear. God will save us no matter what happens to us in these lives. All of these horrifying events that happen here are only small things compared to the great hope that He has given to us. And that brings me to my second point. So secondly, we need to have the right perspective on death as well. As Christians, we believe that God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob still applies to us today. Because God will bring His people back to the promised land, and even though Joseph's brothers did evil things to him, even though the people suffered through years of famine, that did not stop God from saving His people. But it's not actually Joseph's story that matters the most to us today. It's Jesus' story that matters the most to us today. If we understand Jesus' story, that actually helps us to put things into proper perspective. Even though Jesus was rejected by His closest friends and left alone to suffer, and even though He went through extreme pain and torture, and eventually died at the hands of evil men, He trusted that God would bring Him out of all of His trouble and all of His suffering. Yeah, Jesus did die, but He knew that God would come to His aid and save Him from death as well. And so 3 days after He died, God raised Him from the dead. But the story doesn't actually end there either, because Jesus' story is not just Jesus' story. Jesus' story also belongs to His followers. One day all of us will also die, but those who trust in Him will also be raised from the dead, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all of them had the same shared hope that we have today. They knew that one day they would see God's salvation after they died. And we are all part of that same story, because we also are waiting for that very day when we will see this salvation from God, when He will wipe away every tear from our eyes and end all suffering and all pain. Now, if that's what you are looking forward to, then that will change your whole perspective on life. So as we finish this series, and as we finish this semester, I want to finish it well by asking everyone here to consider very carefully about this perspective on life and death, that we are not the ones who are in control of our lives, but that God is the one who is in control, and He will come to aid those who put their trust in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, because you are faithful and you will fulfill your promises to your people. We ask that you will work in our hearts to help us understand this perspective and to live our lives well as a result. We thank you for the amazing promise of resurrection in Jesus Christ, and we pray that we will not forget your mercy to us and the amazing things that you have done. Let us cling to what you have taught us throughout this semester, and please let us be faithful to you as you have always been faithful to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.